Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/Wondery, code Wondery.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Put your mouth on the mic.
This mic is great happening. Compared to the one I was on earlier.
It is nice.
I'm on that one.
This
one,
damn good mic.
It's a good mic. I can just kind of be right here and it sounds full.
You got to be right up.
That's
on.
Not the one. That was the one that Neil Gaiman was on earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
What are you doing?
I'm trying to breathe into the essence.
You're trying to get
any essence he left on here. God, he is a
phenomenal individual.
I
could have talked to him for 7 hours,
and I would have listened.
Yep.
I think this is the first time me and Matt were we were talking to him before you got here. We're just like, it's like, well, we didn't say a thing, and I we were both like, I didn't mind.
No,
I didn't want
great.
To. I
no,
wanted to just keep
fine.
On hearing him talk.
Yeah, I'm excited to post that one because I was definitely not in comedy mode. I was in teach me your wisdom mode.
Yeah, yeah.
It's good to have those every once in a while.
It's great. Well, he's such a great guy and so genuine and sweet and just a brainiac.
Plus, you know, he made me cry. No one makes me cry.
Well, make you cry constantly.
Well, besides you.
Well, whining and crying aren't really the same thing.
You guys did it.
Wow. I guess it's not
by the way,
hard.
Matt doesn't cry on the podcast. This doesn't turn into a very special Nerdist episode.
Oh, yeah. My God. Please, no.
No, you. It's
after
just,
the last one was titled, sorry, Matt. I don't think we need.
I was worried that people might think that you got kicked off the show or something.
Sorry, Matt. See you later.
Yeah. C-Y. Hey.
Yeah.
Great job last night on the Nerdist TV pilot, you guys.
Great job.
No, I was. It was. So, you know, what was really fascinating to me was this is a really great lesson. I was so much in producer mode in my head that I wasn't like during the show. I was just like, oh fuck, okay, did that go okay? Is this part going okay? What happened? Because we had like there was a weird camera issue. There was like some sort of a timing issue with the. Yes, tape machines that they were using here to take the show, so we had to stop down for about 25 minutes. But other than that, like...
You mean at the place we record onto CDs?
Exactly. But when I think back, when I think back and replay the moments I had, Craig Ferguson was phenomenal. I mean, I can't even begin to express the gratitude that I have for having that guy in my life. Like he's a great role model. He's hilarious. He's super loyal and great as a friend.
Yeah. Multiple people have told me today, they said after seeing him last night, I was like, I'm going to start watching that guy's show. He's one of the funniest guys I've ever seen in person.
He's so fantastic. And then our special guest was super awesome too. And people dressed up and it just felt fun. Like it felt like, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen with it. I hope we get to do more of them. BBC was great with us. They let us, you know, like they gave us good direction but they still let us do what we wanted.
Yeah.
And the set looked incredible and just exactly the way I pictured it. And, you know, like, I don't know if we, even if we never do another one, if we don't get to do any more, for some reason, I'm proud. I was very honored to have done it with you guys and worked with the team we did. And, you know, Boyd Vico and Brad Stevens and KP Anderson and Kristen Rutherford and you guys, like, it was so much fun to see Matt Myra in a writer's room, like, working, and, you know, like, actually, like, pitching jokes.
Yeah,
and
no, it was, he came
up
incredible.
With our, he came up with our bit for our David O'Doherty correspondent piece.
Yeah, exactly. No, it was funny, though. There was one of the production
meetings. Hopefully be really good, because we haven't
chatted yet. One of the production meetings we were in, he was, like, just swaying back and forth in his chair while Jay James, one of the, you know, the higher ups for the studio, was talking, and I kind of had to, like, just kind of hold his chair. I was like, don't. and then he had his head down on the table. You remember that? He put his head down on the table.
I was looking at Chris. He was on the other side. I had to look over there.
And then, he was looking at me adorably down the table.
He was looking at sports on his fucking iPad. I was
important things happen.
I was like, yeah, put it away. Put it away.
Sometimes ignorance is what makes me look comfortable.
Yeah. Wow, that guy doesn't give a shit. He must know all the...
But I got to say, I mean, you know... it's easy. I'm pretty comfortable doing television after all this time. And even sometimes if I'm not comfortable, I can fake it really well.
Yeah.
But you guys were totally comfortable on the panel. You seemed totally like, oh, you do this shit all the time. I was really proud of you.
Well, it was the podcast with the camera.
I know. But it's a little bit
more. That's what I thought of it as.
It's a little bit more structured as a TV.
Don't get it in my head. Okay. I'll be uncomfortable.
I'm saying, Matt, is there are way more opportunities for you to fuck it up on a larger scale. Anyway.
You did great. There was, you know, and we've worked on things together. We've been friends for a long time.
A decade.
Yeah. And a decade.
A decade.
Yeah. I don't know. It was a nice zenith of moments, just to, like, you know, like the show started, you were saying hi to everybody. You sang a song for everybody with Mike Furman. You know, you never lost your charm, and like, and to also, like, see you running around running the fucking show. And just because, you know, like, your control freak tendencies,
of course,
kicking into high gear.
I mean, I don't know if I can completely take credit for running the show. I mean, KP and Jay and
KP,
like,
did
all
great.
Those guys,
Boyd was running around doing a bunch of stuff. Yeah. It's like, you know, but it was neat seeing that. Like, you know, it was neat seeing you. Like,
are you guys in wardrobe? Let's go over here. Where's that guy? We need that guy over there.
Yeah, it was awesome. And I wanted to, like, tell you. I was like, Chris, just start thinking about just being charming. Don't think about this, because you brought together the right crew to not have to worry about that stuff.
Yeah, I'm just so, you know, I'm so used to always doing everything myself.
Yeah,
that's very hard. You know, it's a good lesson. And no. You hire people that you respect and trust, which we did.
Yeah,
and then you don't have to worry about that stuff.
Because then you run the risk of bottlenecking stuff.
Sure.
Because everyone will be like, well, you know, I am supposed to make the decision on this, but I want to wait till this guy says it's okay. Then everything starts slowing up a bit, you know. But,
by the way, Zenith of Moments is my pan flute tribute album.
Zenith of Moments.
Chris Hardwick. That's the new Deep Thoughts.
Yeah, Zenith of Moments.
As I stood there.
It'll replace Noodle Stories.
Yeah, Zenith of Moments.
Zenith of Moments.
Start the hashtags, assholes.
Oh, I fucking hate Zenith of Moments. Yeah. What? No, just Zenith of Moments is just a pleasant-sounding phrase. Yeah, how can you be angry at Zenith of Moments?
It's not a thing we declared. It's a thing we just said. Which is, like, some of the points brought up by Neil Gaiman. Like, it just, like, it wasn't...
Now it is canon.
Yeah, now it's canon. I think that, like, that says a lot about, you know, so many things. And, you know, I remember one time I said to, when I first met Laura Keitlinger, I was like, oh, there's this line you have that's, you know, I've been in so many, shitty relationships. I feel like I should be in a shitty marriage by now. And she's like, she's all, that's just some dumb thing I said offhandedly. It's not even anything I ever said again, but it was on a set I did on TV. And now that's the thing everyone quotes of mine. Like,
yeah.
And now it's canon.
I've had that with a couple people, like with, I mean, did we bring this up with Sarah Silverman? And I was like, oh, you did this great song that one time, or like In My Vagina. And she was like, what? I go at M-Bar, like, you know, like 3 or 4 years ago, or 4 or 5 years ago. And she was like, I did that song one time.
Yeah.
Like, really? Because it felt like a bit to me. It felt like a done bit.
That happens so much on the show, though. I mean, you know, when
it happens all the time, because that's all we do is talk.
Yeah, I know, but, like, but I don't remember everything. I mean,
no, I don't remember anything.
You know, a lot of the people, and we appreciate you guys paying attention, but, you know, sometimes I don't remember every fucking thing I say every day, and we talk a lot on the show, and we're like,
well, it's different if you're listening, because I feel like we're just talking, and not particularly listening in the moment. It just turns it is a conversation that we've had.
These are conversations
so
that we record.
We get the gist of it.
And anyone in their life will remember maybe 1/100th of the things they said in a day.
Yeah.
And then you go back, and on the internet, it's like this crazy thing. And I used to always get that when I would listen to Howard Stern, and people would call in and comment on something he'd said the week before.
You totally forgot.
Didn't remember saying, but I remember him saying that.
Yeah.
That's kind of what it is with the podcast. Now people will say this.
Baba Booey, like, Baba Booey, Howard Stern's penis.
That was
Myra Booey.
Captain
Myra Booey.
Oh, Myra Booey. Myra Booey,
Myra Booey.
Myra Booey. I want that.
Yeah. All right, if I'm Big C, you get to be Myra Booey.
That is now a thing. You just
Myra
say a
Booey
thing.
Is fucking great. Myra Booey. God. Because it reminds me of like your boo boo, too.
That's totally going to stick. People are going to start calling you Myra Booey.
Myra Booey, Myra Booey.
Myra Booey.
Big C's penis.
No. Myra Booey, Myra Booey, Jonah Ray's penis, Myra Booey.
I don't know.
Do you still listen to Howard?
I do, yeah.
So you have the series?
I don't.
How do you listen to Howard then?
The internet.
Oh.
Don't tell anyone.
I won't say a thing.
People go crazy for that. You know, Eli does a lot of stuff on Stern.
Eli Braden?
Now. Yeah.
Eli, he writes Robin parody songs. That
he's a mensch, that Eli Braden. Eli Braden does it. If you've ever seen a guy in his underwear on Web Soup, that's probably Eli Braden.
I just remember
or a diaper.
The older brother says, hey, Chris, why don't you get all the points?
And Eli was doing crowd warm up for us on Web Soup, like coming, because he's a great, he does comedy songs and he comes in. And
he does good covers too. And yeah.
So I'm so glad. I always love when people kind of go off and like, oh, that guy's doing a thing now. That's so nice.
Yeah. He's one of the sweetest guys I know. His wife is awesome, and it's just still weirds me out that he has two kids.
Yeah.
The guy who makes those songs has kids.
The guy who wrote the song about periods has two kids?
Yeah. but yeah, he's an awesome dude.
I like Eli a lot.
Yeah. Just one of those guys you come across where you're like, you're just trying to do funny things and just being a nice guy. Nothing else.
Nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that at all.
I did, after we shot the pilot last night, I had, and then a little bit this morning, just sort of a weird postpartum depression. I mean, like, it is sort of like birthing an emotional baby.
Yeah.
Like, when you finish a project that you've been working on for a really long time, and it's not, you know, it's not totally done yet. It still has to be, like, they still have to edit down.
Yeah, I'll be there on
and
Friday.
And we must have shot an hour of footage.
I don't want to be in that fucking booth.
To edit down.
I don't
want to
be anywhere.
You know, 18, 22 minutes.
So, wait, what does that mean? I think that's from a reference to a joke that we cut out. Ah, fuck me.
No.
Like, going back and then trying to
find.
Yeah. That's always fun.
I'm glad you'll be in on the editing process, though.
Yeah, I'll be there for the David O'Doherty stuff, which should be a blast.
I'm going in for that too.
Good for you, buddy. Good for you, Myra Booey.
Oh, Myra Booey.
Myra Booey. That's so look at how tickled he is by Myra
Booey.
You
love you got your nickname.
It's hate is what it is. That was the face that turned into a smile.
Really? When you get full of anger, you start to giggle and shake.
That's how I deal with my emotions.
Yeah. Oh, that's the physical reaction of shoving it down your fucking Catholic Boston body.
Yeah. Bringing it down.
Pushing it down. Giving it up to the Lord.
Yeah.
Full of guilt and anger.
You didn't go to Catholic school, did you?
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah.
Have we talked about this before?
I don't know.
I think we all did.
Again, we don't know.
About.
Yeah.
Well, just yours wasn't all boys. Like, mine was all boys.
No,
I went to
all
boys Catholic school.
Maybe it's on Nerdistpedia. There should be one. And then they can.
I can't even fucking
get.
I put something on Wikipedia because my mom isn't on there.
Yeah.
You know, I've had to explain to both of my parents how Wikipedia works because people were putting incorrect information on there.
Right.
And so I explained it. My mom was like, why? My name isn't Marge and I'm not a psychotherapist. Why would you? Are you ashamed of me? I'm like, no, it's Wikipedia. It's use it. So I signed up, I tried to add on Wikipedia. And I tried to use as the citation in the citation brackets, I am Chris Hardwick and I'm telling you this is true.
Yeah.
And it lasted 10 minutes.
Wow.
And they took my mom's name. My mother's name is Sharon Hills. She is a real estate. She works in real estate
Mogul.
She works in, and she lives in Pasadena.
Yeah. Oh, did you hear what they had to do to the John Adams? The John Adams Wikipedia page?
No.
Because of Michelle Bachmann saying that he was a founding father and when he was, you know, what, he was like nine.
Yeah.
A bunch of her supporters went into the Wikipedia trying to change it so it said he was a founding father.
Really?
Yeah, so they had to lock Wikipedia had to lock the page so no one can add to it.
So they were just trying to make a gaffe truth by adding it to the well, there you go. That's how history is
that's written. How it happens.
Yeah, exactly. But oh, and let's give a congratulations to our good friend Al Yankovic for getting number nine.
Yeah, we ran into him. He was doing Attack of the Show, and we were starting to set up for Nerdist, and so he came by and said hi. And then today we found out that it's the highest charting album. Alpocalypse is his highest charting album ever, which is really hard to believe when you think about. You know, when you think about like A Surgeon or Eat It or Another One Rides the Bus, like any of those back.
But you got to think about all the other, how big music was in general back then. And, you know, like there was a lot more records being sold. And not to take anything away from Al, but like it's a testament to how fucking many records Al's still selling.
Which is incredible.
Yeah.
I sent him kind of a gushy email and I never know like when I send people a gushy email, but you know, sometimes I just feel kind of gushy and I was eating lunch.
So that's what reminded you of him.
Yeah. Yes.
Because girls just want to have lunch.
Lunches, check them and see. And CNN was on, and they were talking about. They showed his Gaga video,
nice.
And they came back, and they were all laughing. And I just emailed him. I was like, you know, I hope you understand the impact that you've had on my generation of comedians, like my circle. Like, just the fact that you've managed to stay relevant and funny for all these years is really inspiring. And I just hope you know that you know how important that is to all of us. And so it was, you know, and he was like, thanks, man. I mean, that's how I read his email in my head, but it was really cool. And I was really happy that, you know, that he did it. He fucking did it again.
Yeah, he did it. I mean, I really was worried that the White and Nerdy was going to be, you know, the highest point. Cause that was his biggest single was White and Nerdy. And then to 4 years later, come out in the fucking number nine on the charts.
And the Gaga video is good.
Yeah, it's great.
They did a fucking great job with it.
Yeah, yeah. No, he's good and deserves everything good because he's one of the nicest guys I've ever met.
Here was another interesting incorrect fact on Hard Wikipedia. Was that I get a text from my brother really late. I have a half-brother named Eddie, who's awesome.
Peter.
He's not. His name is not Peter. His name is Eddie.
Mm-hmm. Peter.
He lives in Maryville, Tennessee. Mm. He's just married his new wife, Belinda. I'm trying to drop as many facts as possible so this shit can be cited. And so I get a text from the other night, and he's like, give it to me straight, man. Do we have a sister named Emily? And I'm like, no, Wikipedia! We don't! And he's like, are you sure? Because I just want to know. And I'm like, no, I promise!
Do we have a sister named...
That's something Wikipedia made up. It's run by the masses.
Yeah.
Anyone can add stuff to Wikipedia except for the person the page is about for some reason.
Yeah.
I can't change. I want to add and a bunch of stuff to mine.
Yeah. Wikipedia is an amorphous mass of like hive mind. You cannot, there's no one you can call. There's no person that you can say. I mean, I'm sure there are, you know, they have essentially, there's like a voluntary police force that sort of goes through and manages all of it. But in general, you can't just, you know, it's just like trying to punch Sandman or something, and your hand just goes through.
My Wikipedia says something about Jonah and I working on something for Sky TV France called the Puppetry de Floppy Penis.
Oh, because on my Wikipedia, it just says I'm working on it. It's like a porn puppet thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm working on it with you.
Oh.
I didn't know that. I wasn't at that meeting.
Bone.
Yeah, but it says we're working on. And I got interviewed the other day by some travel magazine about Hawaii, and they said, "What's up with this porn thing you're working on?" I was like, "Who told you that? That's exclusive information."
Is it true?
No, I'm not working on any kind of porn puppetry.
I found a DVD in a like a 99-cent bin maybe 10 years ago called "Let My Puppets Come." And it was made in the late 70s, early 80s, it looks like. And it's puppet porn, but like super slapstick comedy. Like the first one is this puppet woman and this puppet dog, and the dog convinces him to have he convinces her to have sex with him, and she's like, "But I can't, you're a dog." And he's like, "I've had all my shots." And then this weird little puppet lipstick penis comes out, and you see it going in her puppet vagina, and it's just full of, like, you know, like a guy in a hospital and a nurse comes in and blows him and
He was like, that must have been the head nurse. Like, it was all bad.
Deanna was showing me. She has this DVD of this thing called Inflated, where this guy just made shorts.
Oh, I've seen that.
Yeah, out of blow-up dolls. Like, just a little film shorts out of blow-up dolls.
And don't understand. So they're shorts made out of film?
Mm-mm. Chris, these aren't like what Matt like wears.
I wear shorts all the time, guys.
No pants.
Nope, don't own them. Well, I own pants. They don't fit, guys.
My Rabui. Doesn't wear pants. Pantsless my Rabui.
Look at these pants. They go all the way to the ground. What was that? Like an Archbucker? Too long to be short. Too short to be pants. It's chance. I think the song continued from there, but I don't remember the rest of the lyrics. Archbucker.
So fucking funny.
Sorry.
What happened?
No, it's sometimes gassy. I get gassy and my rib hurts.
Oh, from hitting the car.
Yeah.
With your body.
With my body.
Yeah. And so you have bruised, possibly broken limbs.
I think it'd be a lot more pain if I broke it. God, it's been a weird couple of years.
Yeah, it's always... I was like, did Jonah injure himself in the last couple of days?
Yeah. Alex was just saying, like, I think you're going to have to start wearing a helmet all the time. Not there yet. I used to be really into, when I was growing up, I would fall on purpose. I would do that constantly. Just always fall. I was really into Chris Farley, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I would always do things to horribly embarrass myself. You know, I remember one time I was in the back of a truck. And a bunch of hot girls from school like rolled up right next to it. And I was like, hello, ladies, I think. And then I like front flip, like, you know, just like almost, I could have landed on my neck or head coming out of the truck. But
sure.
It was so funny to me. But then I don't wait to get any like reactions or laughs. I like getting up instantly and going, that was so fucking embarrassing. And then running away.
And then you run off. Yeah. We've seen that phenomenon on the web soup program
that's
quite
right.
A bit.
Danny, don't run.
Where are you going?
Danny, don't run. That's the guy in that, the guy who played the titular role of Danny Duntern, he has a really good podcast, Grandma's Virginity.
I
mentioned it before. Yeah. Him and you know, the other guy, Justin Roiland. Sorry.
Wow. That's okay.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Our brains are kind of mushy.
I saw Justin.
Why were they looking at me? That's weird.
Oh, people are looking in through the studio.
Yeah.
Chris, you would be very upset.
Because you're Myra Bowie.
You know who I realized we got to have on the podcast is Jeff Davis.
Yeah. From like Whose Line Jeff Davis?
Yeah, Whose Line Jeff Davis. I ran into him the other day at a birthday party. And right now he's in France hanging out with Eric Idle, George Harrison's wife. Joni Mitchell might stop by.
Yeah, sure. You never know with Joni. It's like, is she knitting a tea cozy?
Yeah, this is the worst orgy in the world you're describing.
Jeff Lynne. And he was just telling me all these stories about how like they go every once in a while, like every year. Eric Idle has people come out. And like, you know, it's like he said that one time they were all just like having fun, singing songs. And then Jeff says, hey, Eric, why don't you play Always Look on the Bright Side of Life? And Eric Idle just went, like just like straight face, just like no, that's the one I won't do. It's the one song he will never play for people. And then he said that he told the story about how they finally get Joni Mitchell to come over because she never leaves her house. She finally comes over and they're all singing songs and she was trying to remember some of her songs and then Jeff Lynne's like I'll play them. So Jeff Lynne, you know, from ELO is like playing the songs for her and like elbowing Jeff Davis going like, can you believe this? he was just saying how like Jeff Lynne is like nerding out over this.
I thought you were gonna say Joni Mitchell then was like, always look on the bright side
and
of life.
So, like she like, you know, she sang a song and everyone was like, oh, that was so awesome. And then just instantly Eric Idle just starts playing Always Look on the Bright Side of Life.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. That's a really good story. But he's got tons of fucking crazy stories, man.
Jeff Davis is a great, phenomenal improviser. I did my Whose Line auditions with him forever ago.
Yeah. He's great. He's a classic, like a classic Lothario. He's like always in a suit, always a drink in his hand.
Looks great.
Yeah.
What were you going to say, Myra?
Nothing.
Come on.
I was going to say that Jeff Lynne produced a couple of tracks on Regina Spektor's last album.
Oh, he did?
Oh, really?
I was such a huge, huge Jeff Lynne fan.
Yeah.
Huge.
Remember when Nick Thune played Jeff Lynne and when we did the
oh, we
the
did Traveling Wilburys. Who was I? I was Dylan, maybe.
You were Dylan. Ackerman was Tom Petty. George Harrison was played by Mike Furman.
Mike Furman,
I was
yeah.
Roy Orbison. Like a weirdly retarded Roy Orbison.
Yes.
And it was, what was the song?
Everybody, got somebody to lean on.
What was the parody? Like, how did it, something about packages?
Oh, yeah. I think it was Ackerman came up with this bit where we were, this is for the CDR Christmas show, right? So
yeah.
we played through the whole show. We played people on and off. And it was, I think it was the post office had hired the Traveling Wilburys to sing songs about how we would handle the holiday packages care. But I can't remember. Yeah. And this was probably like 5 years ago, right? I can't remember how it went. But it was really fun. And we all played.
Yeah, I remember my line was real creepy. As Orba said, it was like, I'm so tired of being lonely. I still have some jizz to give. Won't you please open the package of jizz I made you, please? I'm lonely.
Was it really?
Yeah, something really gross.
I still had some jizz to give?
Yeah.
Jizz a give?
Jizz a give. That was fun, though. Jeff Lynne was Nick Thune. We kicked out Nick Thune. Everyone was a dick to Jeff Lynne.
Yeah.
And like every you said, you're like, what are you even doing here?
Oh, I did?
Yeah.
What are you even doing here?
We're going to get Ackerman on the podcast.
Yeah, that'd be great.
It's been a while. He's long overdue. I'm doing Marin's podcast tomorrow.
Really?
Yeah.
You guys going to fight?
We're probably going to fight, and we're going to talk about...
You hate
I don't know,
me,
we're
don't
not
you?
Fight.
You hate me, don't
I'm not going to fight.
Now, why are they making your podcast a show?
They're making his a show, too, I
yeah,
think.
Yeah, it sounds... He's got
NPR,
some good...
Right?
He's got
is
some,
this scripted?
No. It's like a...
Sitcom.
It's a narrative. It's a scripted show. I mean, it's not connected to any station, no, to any network. It's my production company, but Ed Asner plays his dad.
Fucking great.
Who's in it? Sean Patton
mm-hmm.
plays like a stoner guy in it. And Matt Smith from Breaking Bad is in it.
The show's going to be probably pretty huge, I would imagine.
Yeah.
But he deserves it. Like, it's about time that he gets, you know, like he gets to enjoy success.
Yeah.
It's been a while. And
it
so
has been
he
a
deserves
while.
It.
I remember the three of us were on a show at the House of Blues and they, Carlin died.
Yeah.
And I remember you were on stage and. You're doing some some of your material, like some of your nerdier material. I remember he was just like, is that real? Is that even real? That guy gets laid all the time, man.
He does.
Like, yeah. And he's just like, you know,
I wasn't aware of that.
And then it just, of course, it's married so quickly. It just goes, it's like, I don't know what I'm doing. It's just, I had a place where my career was going somewhere. It just fucking devolved.
And now he's fucking huge. Like,
I think he's great. I think I love, I don't really listen to any podcasts except for his.
Funny people deserve to be, to get, it's like funny people deserve, because there's so many things in this world that get watered down and aren't funny. And it's like, really? I mean, you see scripts come through during pilot season. You're like, this is really the best. This is really what you're going to put on. You know, so, you know, when Louis gets a show and when Marin gets a show or when Whitney gets a show, it's just, it's good for comedy. Like when comics do well, it's good for everyone. It's good for them. It's good for us. It reminds people that you know, that comics can carry shows and mm-hmm. you know can that there are you know there are still some super comics left in the world, and it's just nice. It's good. It's good for everybody.
Yeah.
So I'll do. I don't know what we're gonna. I who knows what we're gonna talk about tomorrow? Maybe it'll be serious. Maybe it'll be fun.
Maybe there'll be tears.
You're doing it tomorrow.
Yeah. So I don't know what's gonna go up.
Wow.
But we're just recording it tomorrow.
Oh yeah. He backlogs them pretty far. Yeah.
Probably. I don't know.
Well, tell him I said hello.
I will. I will. Yeah.
I think he's on Meltdown soon.
I did it. I did his show a couple of years ago, and then of course he did ours this year. So we're going back.
That was fun. That was a fun one.
It was a really fun one. We did it at the Cat Ranch.
Yeah, I like it. I like it when he riffs, because it's like it's something you don't really see him do much or hear him do much. You know.
Yeah.
Just like get into a riff session.
It's fun, you know, and it's fun in the podcasting verse to sort of look around, and then you know we'll get someone on the show and be like, oh yeah, we got this person, and be like.
oh, but Mark got that person. And it's not like an aggressive, like, competitive. It's just
or
sort of
that
like,
week when we all get the same person.
We know that just happens.
Yeah,
that's
no, like,
someone's
in town. Yeah.
Sometimes when people are in town or they're promoting something and they just kind of make the rounds like they would on a talk show circuit. And, you know, it's like we all have different takes with that person. Like you get you see a different shade of that person by whatever the show brings out of them. So it's, you know, I personally could listen to the same person on five different shows with if there were five different people that I liked, talking to them.
Well, yeah, he gets a certain type of information out of
someone. It's good because it just sort of keeps, you know, it just keeps everyone on their toes. And it's just like, oh, you know, there's people out there that are doing really amazing work. And, you know, we better focus. Like it just keeps you focused.
You know what I wish would start a podcast and kind of did in a weird way. And this is going to sound weird, but did you guys ever watch any Raw Nerve with William Shatner?
Yeah,
I did not watch Raw Nerve.
I downloaded a couple episodes, Al's one being one of them. But it's like if he just had a interview podcast, I would listen to that constantly. He's good.
There's no way he would do it.
No.
Because he would probably want, I mean, at the point in his career, he probably would need an enormous amount of money to.
We could just get.
But how much money could he have really gotten from Ron Irv?
Well, I mean, you know, if he had stake in the show.
Yeah. What channel was that on?
That Sundance? Was on A&E.
A&E?
Yeah.
He probably did. He probably did all right.
He's got this new movie coming out where it's called the
Chat My Dad
Captains,
Says.
I think it's called Captains, where he interviews everybody, each captain in Star Trek. He interviews everybody, all the actors.
Janeway?
Janeway and Chris Pine, too.
That picture came out of them,
arm wrestling. Chris Pine and Shatner arm wrestling.
That is a pretty fucking awesome idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like he goes and talks to them about how, you know, sort of Star Trek has affected their life and...
You know how I started this thing that you're all milking off?
Well, really, that was Captain Pike started that.
Well, I mean,
if you want to get
the only thing that missed was you pushing your glasses up. Ooh. There you go.
Damn these glasses.
There. Yes, sir.
I damn these glasses.
I love Bill Macy. Not William H. Macy, who I also love, but Bill Macy, who played that character in The Jerk.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you ever see B. Arthur's old sitcom, Maude?
No.
And there's Maude.
Might have been a Norman Lear show. I can't remember.
It was a spinoff of All in the Family.
Oh, yes, it was a spinoff of All in the Family, just like the Jeffersons and it was back when they were making those like real, you know, like, and Maude was one of the first.
Maude, first sitcom they ever said bitch on.
It was one of the first sitcoms that had a really strong, driving female protagonist.
Oh, wow.
Because it was sort of born out of the women's lib movement. And Maude was that's going to catch all the peas that you pop if you don't put that cover back on.
I won't say any.
Okay. Well, what's your favorite kind of pasta?
Wow.
Macaroni, I meant to say.
You didn't, though.
Spacaroni.
You sounded like you were just going to say spasta.
Spacaroni. So I totally shot spacaroni all over this chick's meatballs.
Then she turned it in for her.
Awful.
but Bill Macy, he just has that really kind of frenetic.
Yeah, yeah.
I wonder if Maude's got to be on Netflix. There's no reason that wouldn't be on Netflix.
Not.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I don't think any of the Norman Lear stuff's on
Netflix. I can't remember.
The guy wants too much money. He's awesome.
I can't remember if I haven't seen Maude in so long, so I don't know. That was one of those ones that would have like real serious moments in between the jokes, and which was of course Norman Lear's trademark.
Yeah,
was breaking out of the sort of. That kind of America and Families Are Perfect bubble.
Yeah, which Roseanne did really well, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And now it's funny because as I said before, pretty much every protagonist on television now is despicable.
And then...
Yeah.
And Roseanne, they won the lottery for that season, and then she realized...
That was the last one. No, that's I don't even really like to even think about that season at all.
And then Dan died of a heart attack.
That was like her
what
fantasy,
a slash
right?
and burn.
Yeah, that was just like,
was that just John Goodman going, I think I'm done with this?
Yeah, it was.
Oh, good.
They're trying to figure out how to kill off Charlie Sheen. Chuck Lorre wants to kill him in a horrible way so that he can never come back.
That's perfect.
His character can never come back. So when they go back,
they
something will have happened.
Well, I mean, I understand all of the ways they could do
that. I can share with you the joke that I did on Chelsea about
it. Go.
Why don't they just show footage from his Violent Torpedo of Truth tour and watch him dying on stage?
Boom!
Bam!
Bam! Pow! Good
or
one, Chris.
They should
They should cut him in half and have him be the half in 2.5 minutes.
What a weird sort of thing that was. That was like
so public.
The world. No, but I'm just like, Charlie Sheen was like at the forefront of everybody's
became the
consciousness
internet.
For 2 weeks.
Then what happened?
No one gives a shit. Well, it's like enough it's that enough
a real
people thought,
a real like thing happened, like enough, the fucking earthquake.
When,
and
when I went to Detroit, yeah, but people like those distracting celebrity mind melt stories. But when I was in Detroit, and that was the first city that he came through, and I asked the crowd there, like, "Did you go see the Violent Torpedo Truther?" And they were like, "No." And I realized, oh, you live in Detroit, you can see crackheads for free. You don't have to pay $75,
yeah, like
base for a ticket.
Like enough people thought that was a good idea to promote the tour and like actually put together a tour and
it's,
send
it. Listen. In theory, it's an excellent idea when he was getting that much press. It's just if he had had an act. If he had had an act.
Or just an extra month to put something
together. If he had had an act, he would have fucking crushed it, because if he had been able to actually be funny with that attention, then it would have it actually would have taken. But you know what the fuck? It's just whatever. You know, someone's developing another show for him, and he'll be on television again in no time. Yeah. And once again, like, all insane behavior will be completely negatively reinforced by the entertainment business.
Fuck them.
Fuck them. It's just so funny. It's just like, how hard do you have to fuck up to not to have people just go, yeah, let's not do this.
OJ.
Michael Richards.
Well done. Touché. That was a light high five. Yeah. Light five.
Light five.
Light five.
Oh, you know what? Dom, one of the Nerd Melt interns. Was,
I think OJ and Michael Richards would make a great two-man show on the road.
But I understand.
No, because Michael Richards.
I was going to say Dom from Nerd Melt, one of the interns, really funny guy. Taught me a new high five where you high five and then you thumbs up and then you slowly drop down, and it's called the Terminator 2 high five.
When he's descending into the when he's descending into the molten metal.
Yeah.
That movie's so good. I saw that in the theater when I was 7 years old. That came out in 91, right?
Yeah, I saw it in the theater too. Yeah. Yeah.
Liquid metal. I tweeted it. It's funny because I have this Terminator theory about the T-Mobile girl being the TX, the Terminatrix model, to the Verizon guy's T-800. So I tweeted that, and she tweeted back, "Oh, I should probably watch that movie." And I'm like, "Really? You should watch all four so you can understand the entire universe." # Why am I telling you this, hot girl? You're never gonna watch all four Terminator movies.
She doesn't need to watch any of those. She's just fine.
Are you sure she doesn't want to see Engineer Number 2 in Terminator 3?
Yeah,
I got sad.
That's your MySpace picture for a long time.
They took down her billboard. On,
they're everywhere.
She had a giant on the side of the building on Wilshire.
What is her? Her name's Carly Folks.
Super hot. Carly Super hot.
I think her Twitter is full. It's spelled like F O U L K E S. She's Carly,
hot.
I think.
Super
like
hot.
Like iCarly.
Like Greta was happy that they took the billboard down so I wouldn't have to talk about it again. Because, like, I would talk about her a lot.
Let me ask you this. Did you buy a T-Mobile phone?
No. When I saw Terminator 3 in the theater, I turned to Heath, who is my roommate, and I said, "That's Chris Hardwick."
You recognize Chris Fatwick?
Yeah, I recognize Chris Fatwick.
That was not a good time. I mean, it was fun to do the movie, but it was not a good time emotionally for old Chris Fatwick. Who now? I mean, when I look at older pictures of myself, I look like my own fat brother,
Peter.
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 Yeah.
Peter's a perfect name for that shitbag that I used to be. Perfect name.
Yeah. Hey, but that's the shitbag I met and became friends with.
The shitbag that probably bought you beers and
Jack in the Box when I drove you home.
I met a sober Chris Hardwick in 2007.
Yep.
You met a very drunk Jonah Ray.
I had a very drunk Jonah Ray who did not remember meeting me.
No, he didn't.
And giving me his phone number.
Yeah, so if you ever want to get together sometimes to talk about feelings,
that's probably about right.
I'll tell you about these great things called pants.
Guys, I had pants.
And then I know, they're all too big now.
So, I mean, when do you...
Do you hear he lost weight?
I don't know what you're talking about.
That was so long ago. Do you know, this year, I think in October. October is 8 years since I quit drinking. Oh my God, that's almost a decade. What a different time. I kind of remember those days, but they seem like someone else's life. It's like the memories that I have are like watching a slideshow from someone else's life. Like the who's the family that writes songs to the slideshows? The Trachtenberg
family.
Yeah, the Trachtenberg family players. I feel like I found someone else's slideshow, and sometimes I can just load it into my brain and get these images and like, wow, that guy was fucking nuts. I'm like, oh wait, I was that guy.
Yeah. You drank like throughout the day too, right?
Well, Jonah, I don't mean to brag, but
shower beers.
Well, what breakfast beers. Here's the thing. I was probably drinking somewhere in the neighborhood of 15 to 20 beers a day. And then
Jesus Christ.
And then kind of near the end of the night, you know, just to sort of, you know, like those, you know, like those extra dynamite power packs that Doc Brown put on the steam engine to give it the extra kick to get it to 88 miles per hour because the horses didn't work.
Yeah.
Because even if you have 100 horses, they're still
going to
go.
Fastest horse in the world.
Well, imagine those made out of whiskey.
Miles an hour, yeah. So, you know, and then occasionally I would do a couple shots at the end of the night. Sambuca. I would do Sambuca shots at the end of the night. I know. I don't know how I'm not dead. This comedian named Bob Powers and I did, when we used to run the comedy show at the Gypsy Cafe in Westwood, we did this thing one night called the Beer Olympics, because Bob was a big drinker too, and for some reason we were both proud of what filthy drunks we were. And so we did this thing called the Beer Olympics where we came in character, and I got this Batman cowl and cape, and I was the lager bat, and he was something else. And so we would have to do these tasks and then like pound beers. I drank a fucking lot, and then went to a party after that. At Lauren Graham's house. Oh my God. I know, name dropping. Get over it. I'm giving you the context of the story.
I love Gilmore Girls.
And so, and was really drunk there. And I think she was even like, you don't look good. And then went back and hung out with another friend of ours and drank some more. Like it was an insane night of, wow, how am I alive? And I just think back to those times. And so when you drink that much, what happens is, alcohol interrupts your sleep pattern, and so you don't ever sleep well. And so I would wake up at like 6 o'clock in the morning, having gone to bed at like 2, and feeling so awful. And part of why you get a hangover is that, you know, I mean, like some people have, it's hydration in it. But part of it is you're going through a chemical withdrawal. And so that's why having a drink will make you feel better, like having a Bloody Mary. So I wake up.
Oh, the dog.
That's right. So I'd wake a little heroin of the dog.
Heroin of the dog.
So I'd wake up at like 6:30 in the morning and be like, "Oh, I feel awful. I'm gonna pound a beer and go back to sleep." And so that was sort of a pattern in the end. And I remember waking up at I talk about all this shit in the Nerdist Way book. I mean, that's a part of it, because I just assume that, you know, people can skip that chapter if they want, but part of it is like, well, if you're an obsessive nerd, there's a chance you might have a substance abuse issue, you know, if you obsess over things. And we tend to have these brains where we try to silence our inner monologues, which was a lot of it. Anxiety, you know, like self-medicating. And then you realize, like, but alcohol is a depressant, so that kind of makes it worse in the long run. Yeah. It's a short-term fix, but a long-term problem. Mm. It makes it worse in the long term. So I would have these moments where I'd get up to pee or whatever, and then just have a beer in my hand, and it's like 6:30 or 7 o'clock in the morning, and I would just catch my, you know, my flabby bag of donuts reflection in the mirror, and just kind of laugh to myself and go, "This probably can't go on much longer. This is probably not like I knew in the back of my head, kind of near the end, like this is probably a bad way to live."
Did you romanticize it at all?
Of course, yes. You know, there was almost a weird badge of honor that I don't fully understand why I thought it was awesome. But like the fact that I knew that I could drink more than most people, especially for being a small guy, who was just, you know, a little doughy. But there was a weird, like, for some reason I thought it was awesome. Like I can drink super fast and I can drink a lot and I never black out. And I was always I was never like a shitty, shitty drunk. I never got violent, you know, I just got super fun. I was the super me. You know, it was all. I'm a firm believer that, you know, because a lot of times I'll meet people and they'll go, "Yeah, I was worried I drank too much, so I took a month off." And I always feel like if you're worried, if you even think in those terms, you should consider maybe that you might not want to do it at all. Because people who don't have the booze gene, they just don't think about it in those terms.
Yeah.
They just don't think about it. They're just like, "Oh, I'll have a drink. I can take it or leave it." They don't ever think about did I have too much last night? If I don't do it for a month, that means I don't have a problem. Like, most people just don't think in those terms.
Man.
And if you do, then maybe you should consider. I'm not saying you do. I'm not the kind of person that thinks everyone who drinks has a problem. Like, alcohol is not a problem. The person is the problem.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, consider the possibility that maybe you might want to get some counseling or just see.
Yeah, I don't think I have the gene because, like, I don't really drink or miss drinking. I drank in college, but never blacked out, nor did I ever really crave it or.
Yeah, I've never blacked out. I mean, well,
there's a period of time that you have lost.
Well, to be fair, you might not have been memorable.
I meet a lot of people, Matt. Okay, I guess that could be said, but that was that was purposely drinking to forget. That was just that was a time. Chris was there.
Yeah.
A couple times.
Oh yeah.
But I've never really had spats where I just like wake up, I'm just like, what the fuck happened?
I always had a sense of where I was.
Yeah.
Somehow always had the presence of mind to be like, I'm just going to take cabs everywhere. I would never drive drinking.
Or ride bikes home.
Or ride bikes home and run into Chevy Tahoe.
The worst part was it was really a testament not to, because I really had like two drinks that night. And it was more just the fact that I had these new handlebars like on the peewee bike style where they come out this way.
Yep.
And I was just making fun of Deanna for not being fast enough.
Yeah, I've...
like not afraid to like... swiftly turn my wheel.
Did she make fun of you for not being not injured enough? Hey, I have ribs that don't hurt, Jonah.
Yeah. No, she's incredibly sweet about it. She is really the best thing in the world. And like how I would that's a testament to how much of a dick I am. Like I was surprised that she wasn't making fun of me.
Really? Because I'd be making fun of you. So I don't know why.
Yeah. What is this thing? Why do you care?
Why are you not attacking the thing that you love? That's what you're supposed to do, isn't it? And then you just start punching her. Why are you not attacking me? I'm flawed. Can't you see that and point it out?
Yeah.
I was thrilled last night to see that there was a dozer.
Yeah.
And a Fraggle.
They came together.
That are a couple.
They are a couple.
Oh, they are a couple.
And they perform at Matt's open mic show.
Yep. Oh. And I did not recognize them.
That's a good. It's a good costume.
And then on Twitter, Ben was like, "You didn't recognize me, did you?" And I was like, "What?
Is it wrong to call people who are really into Fraggle Rock fraggots?"
No.
Yeah, that's what they.
Well, all right, you said no, you said yes, so I guess we're somewhere in the middle. It's kind of a gray.
Oh
area.
No, sorry, I was saying yeah. It's a great name.
Okay.
Yeah,
I was a total fraggot.
There's a couple. Yeah, there's a couple of husband wife open micers that go to my show.
Gobo Monkey Wimbly Booba Red,
which I think is odd. Is that not odd?
I just think you need to dance your cares away, man. Because it's like the worries that you have, your worries but should just be for another day. No. Your worries are for another day. Oh. Dance your cares away.
Do you know that in my basement, my sister convinced me that Fraggle Rock existed because we had.
In your basement?
In my basement because we had this.
We kept an old man as a prisoner and he had a puppet dog named Sprocket.
We had, like, you'd open up for like, the electricity and some of where the. Plumbing was looked a shitload like Fraggle Rock, like just young eyes
down to Fraggle Rock.
So my sister convinced me that Fraggle Rock existed down there. So I would often
go
and wait for Fraggles.
This was last month, right?
It was Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Tuesday. Yeah.
And when did you realize, wait a minute, there might not be Fraggles living underneath our house?
Not convinced that hasn't happened yet.
Really?
I mean, the house is still there.
I thought Candyman existed for a long time.
Really?
Yeah. It was one of the only horror movies growing up that really fucking freaked me out. And I remember my brother knew it, too. And it was the only kind of big brother thing he ever did where he would, we'd be in the, like, you know, like brushing our teeth before bed. And then he would push me down. And then run out the bathroom door, turn off the light, and just hold the door closed. But all the while going, Candyman, 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 Candyman. And then holding the door closed. And like, I was so scared, I wouldn't think to turn on the light. And I was just screaming, you know, pounding on the fucking door. So fucking frightened.
Horrifying.
Yeah. And then the second one came out, and then I stopped being scared.
when I was 7 for Christmas, my brother had gotten up before me, emptied out the stocking, and filled it with coal.
Oh.
So when I got up in the morning and saw all the, just checked my stocking first, it was full of coal, and I bawled my eyes out.
Myra.
So many stories of you crying.
Yeah. What's going on there?
Well, you're a sensitive little guy.
Yeah.
With a big heart.
It was really my cousin's
fault. Chris is serious. You have an enlarged heart.
This is how we thought would be the best way to tell you. So.
Is that why it's beating so hard right now?
You got a couple good weeks left, and then, you know, then you won't have to worry about anything anymore. How about that? You won't have to fix people's computers anymore. You gotta look on the bright side of life.
I'm ready.
Always look on the bright side of death. What are you playing?
Yeah, it's the GarageBand on the iPad.
Oh, the GarageBand thing on the iPad there.
I was thinking, Matt, you can play it because you know chords. We can make a Clement song.
Lots of pieces.
Well, I don't like this chord structure because this chord structure they have just sounds like a medieval.
Can we try?
This mic doesn't work.
That mic doesn't work. That mic doesn't work.
Oh.
Can I tell you a great Muppet story? That
if you could sing it like you're a minstrel.
What do you want me to sing?
A Muppet story.
The Muppet story or the Fraggle Rock?
What do you have to tell?
Oh, the Muppet story.
Just to tell the Muppet
story. Jimmy Fallon told me a story one time that was not on a podcast and had no rhyme. It seems that NBC in the 60s once lived some plumbing in a wall and two men that existed named Jim Henson and Frank Oz. One time while waiting for the Steve Allen show or a show I cannot quite recall. They were waiting for hours and took some pipe cleaners and made some Muppets in the pipe walls.
Magic.
And to this very day, you still can see the Muppet pipes. And Frank, I saw it recently, and tears he had to wipe. Apparently, it used to be Max Weinberg's dressing room.
And the seven.
And if I ever saw it, I would make a stinky boom. In my pants. Oh, Your Majesty! No! Not my hands on my tongue! Why are you making me decide? Why are you making me decide my own fate? My hands on my tongue!
That was a great story.
That was actually... I would have cried, too.
That's actually the story that... and I didn't get to see the Muppet Pipes, but apparently they're there, and so Fallon had them... they've survived for decades. That Henson and Oz just got bored while waiting for the show, so they turned these exposed pipes in the wall into Muppets. And then Fallon... And so it used to be Max Weinberg's dressing room, and so if you wanted to see him, you'd have to knock on the door and be like, "Hey, Max, can I show him the Muppets?" and so then when Fallon took over the show, they just put glass over it and lights in it, and now it's a display.
That's awesome. Wow.
What a fucking great story. Cool. And then Frank Oz had just forgotten about it, and so when he came around, I don't know when he came around, but then... They showed him, and he just was like, "Oh my god, you know, like,
yeah,
that fucking story gets me.
That's a fucking great story,
right here in my non-enlarged heart."
Should we quim it?
Sure. Do you want to play?
It's a question. Here's 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 a comment. There's no rehearsal. It's a comment. It's a comment. Hashtag, I'm sick of Chris doing his rock voice on the show. I get it, okay?
You guys, on the Hostful episodes, they never let the guest talk.
Thank you, Garage Bandit.
Garage Bandit!
Were you just trying to do a wah-wah pedal with your hand?
Yeah, I was trying to. I was using it like it was a...
I wish we had like
a trumpet.
I wish we had a like a place and I could like keep like a guitar.
Your wish has granted.
What?
Well, you can just put a guitar in here.
Real? I don't want to leave a guitar here. I don't have any cheap ones.
So that's where the money goes that I'm paying?
No, I've not bought a guitar in... two years. I haven't bought a guitar.
That's where the money goes. Websuit pays Blaine.
Yep, that's right. Got many guitars.
Yeah.
What's the last guitar you bought?
Les Paul.
Nice.
What's your most cherished guitar?
The John Mayer Signature Martin. just because it's a limited run of 404. They made three left-handed.
I heard that fretboard is a wonderland.
I have one of the three left-handed they made. And I actually have Slash's guitar tech fixing it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Down at Paradise City Guitars?
I just found out there's no such thing as the real world.
guys, why would you mock these awesome lyrics?
But I'm not. What are you talking about? I was just free associating.
It's a great guitar. It's an orchestra model. You know, those are like smaller.
Speaking of the real world, Puck just got arrested.
Yeah, all finally. Right.
Why is that news?
It's not. Shouldn't be.
Right. When Tech gets arrested, that's news.
Who picked that up? The AP should have been like, man.
Yeah. You know, slow news day with all these primaries getting going.
I mean, snore. What's that all about?
We got one from Steven.
Steven writes a question.
You know, they made a Dave Matthews Edition Taylor guitar.
Hi, Chris, Matt, and Jonah. I've been listening to the podcast since day one and always love when you guys give TV/movie recommendations like Doctor Who. Thank you for that, by the way.
You're welcome.
Being born in the 90s, what? That's possible?
Whoa. Jesus Christ.
Ugh. You should marry that 50-something-year-old guy.
You could legally fuck someone who was born in the 90s? Oh, my heart!
Being born in the 90s, I feel like I missed out on many amazing sketch comedy TV shows and was wondering if you might be able to do a list of some of your must-watch shows.
You didn't miss that many.
Don't worry. Everyone misses something when they're born after a certain time that
exists.
Yeah,
but fortunately now we have access to everything. Was Mr. Show 2000 or like 99?
No, Mr. Show was 94, 96 to 98.
Oh my God, was it really 96. That long ago? 94?
96 to 2000.
It wasn't until 2000.
Yeah, it was.
You can look that up and it was not till 2000.
I will look it up.
Do it now.
Internet Movie Database, settle this argument in your face.
All right. I can't help but feel jubilant whenever I listen to the podcast.
You saw that J-E-W?
No.
Jubilant?
Jubilant. Whenever I listen to the podcast, I know all of you guys work hard to keep the podcast up and running and to give us such great content. So thank you for giving us nerds, geeks, dorks, and dweebs, something else. Shows that were on that you might not be aware of. I don't know. It's hard to say because I don't know what the
Dana Jonah, Carvey
Jonah's
show.
Right. Jonah's right.
I was right.
Jonah's right.
Uh-oh.
That's the fucking name of this podcast.
You can't
this episode's called Jonah's Right.
I will listen. If I'm wrong on a fact, I will admit it. 95 to 98.
95 to 98. Wow.
I was off by 1 year.
I didn't realize it was that long ago.
Yeah. Shows to watch.
Dana Carvey show was great.
Dana Carvey show was great. Larry Sanders show is
not. I thought he just wanted sketch.
Oh no, he said a sketch slash comedy TV shows.
Sketch comedy TV shows.
So
while he's at it, if you can find the Gary Shandling show, which is on DVD now,
it's
watch
the
that.
Gary Shandling show.
It's the Gary Shandling show, which is so
you know what I just realized about
crazy.
You guys? You're the two guys who work in the record store in High Fidelity.
I've been that guy. For a while.
You are, and therefore, you can be, and therefore are wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
Who's Jack Black? And who is the other guy?
You're a little above.
I'm John Cusack.
No, you're not. You're not.
Nice.
If anyone is Cusack, I'm the wrong guy.
No, I thought you were Tim Robbins.
Oh,
get your patchouli stick out of my store.
Ian guy!
What fucking Ian guy? Other TV shows, Mystery Science Theater 3000, the movie. I mean, you probably know all these things already, you know?
There must be some hidden gems. You know, if you can get a hold of The Day Today or Brass Eye or any of the Alan Partridge shows, you know, the British imports.
Yeah.
What other comedies did I watch in the 1900s?
There was this really funny show called Seinfeld.
Seinfeld's good. Everyone's going in for a soup table.
Is this soup today?
Yeah.
Soup is tonight, yeah.
They usually do it Thursdays.
I saw Joel earlier.
Yeah, I think...
Because KP's going on vacation tomorrow.
That's right.
Hey, look at all those bunch of G4 interns going to the soup.
They go to everything.
Wow. Wish I had the time.
And they get college credit.
Here's one.
Why can't I think of more comedies? I can't remember what I fucking watched in the 90s.
The
Ben Stiller show.
Ben Stiller show, The State.
Yes, thank you.
I really, really hope that they end up making that What Hot American Summer prequel.
Yeah,
trying to make it
fucking
so
amazing.
Fucking good. Friends. Okay, moving on. We got Taylor Bulk here. Hi, Chris, Jonah, and Matt. I really enjoy you guys talking about comedy open mics in L.A. Unfortunately, I live in the Bay Area, and I'm trying to be a stand-up comedian. What do you mean, unfortunately? Some of the best comedians working today are from the Bay Area.
Yeah, San Francisco is a great area.
The only place I have found is Tommy T's in Pleasanton, which is a really good punk band called Your Mother was from there. And the internet is really not helpful. So it would be awesome if you could point me in the direction of some good open mics.
Yeah,
I
drive
don't wanna...
5.5 hours south.
Wait, I'm wondering, isn't a special thing list like regional?
I think, yeah, go to aspecialthing.com. They usually have it's a message board, and usually they have places, specific cities where you can look up open mics and stuff like that.
Must be an SF Weekly you could pick up.
SF Weekly. I mean, that's how I found my first open mic was LA Weekly. I looked it up and it was the Bruco.
Yep.
The first one I ever went to. The Haha Cafe was.
Oh, in the Valley.
Yeah, that place was horrible. There are a handful of clubs, comedy clubs in San Francisco, which I'm sure have open mic nights that you can sign up for.
Yep.
Yeah. So
yeah, San Francisco is not like that guy who wrote us from Huntsville, Alabama. Like San Francisco has a comedy scene. There's the Purple Onion.
There's Cobb's. There's the Punchline.
The Green Room still open.
Felt like
the Green Room still open.
Boston, I always felt like really didn't have a lot.
The Boston comedy scene apparently has died
theaters.
Down considerably yeah. since the days that like Louis and those yeah, yeah, and Merman yeah. and those guys. Yeah, were.
Really, yeah. when I left, it kind of just went.
Yeah, yeah. You were
when
the
you started.
Pin.
When you started,
you were the linchpin that held that scene together, unknowingly.
There's comics still there, right? I mean, Moshe Kasher moved down here, but Alex Cole, who just released Wizard Hello.
Very funny, Alex Cole.
Very funny guy. He's up there still. Robin Williams is still up there.
You can also go, I think, is it Sunday nights or Tuesday nights? The Punchline does like a comic show that a lot of the comics go to. You just have to start talking to other comics too and asking them like, where do you guys go?
Yeah, but don't be creepy and hang around too much.
No, it's all right to ask. Hmm. It's all right to ask. But there are probably, a bunch of shows that don't even get listed in the SF Weekly, but you just have to create friend circles and do a little regional networking.
Friends.
Get in there. Ask questions. Get answers.
Comments.
Make plans. Get quiments. Oh, Jesus Christ. We gotta go.
Oh, are
we 7:45, and your meltdown show is tonight that I'm doing.
That's right. It's gonna be a good show tonight.
Who's on besides me?
We got Tommy Jonigan.
Oh, I love Tommy Jonigan.
Yeah, we got James Adomian before he's moving to New York, which I don't understand.
Adomian, brilliant. Wait, let me just say something about Tommy Jonigan. Tommy Jonigan is one of those guys that could probably do the alternative rooms and the mainstream rooms. He reminds me of like Ray Romano in the sense that his jokes are so fucking good, but they're accessible to a wider audience than just the alternative scene. Like he writes, really solid, like mainstream themed jokes.
Yeah.
And he's I think he's going to be huge.
That's
someday.
Awesome.
Tommy Jonigan.
Jordan Morris from Jordan
Boy
Jesse Go.
The Boy Detective.
I was on their show last week and it was a delight. I love those guys so much. They're great.
On Fuel TV?
I'm sure. No. I was on Jordan Jesse Go.
Jordan JJ.
I've been on Fuel TV. I've been on that Daily
JJ
Habit
Go.
Show. Yeah, JJ Go. It's a good, I'm sure anyone who listens to ours probably
listen to there, but if you sound to Young America, Jordan Jesse Go, any of the stuff that Jesse Thorne's got going
exactly.
on.
Here's something I want you to finish this. My Gmail account felt the need to inform me. Newspapers can be reused as wrapping paper for gifts.
Noodle stories.
Yep, exactly. That was from Brian S. Yeah.
Do it again.
Newspapers can be reused as wrapping paper for gifts.
Zenith of moments.
No, that should be a... And then that's when I found out that newspapers can be reused as wrapping paper for gifts.
Zenith of a moment. Was it zenith of a moment or zenith of moments? Zenith of moments.
Yeah, zenith of moments.
Zenith of moments.
A zenith of moments. And a couple new releases this week on the old album charts.
Let's see what you got there written down on your tiny piece of paper, Jonah Ray.
I wrote because I was checking out some new stuff today that came out this week.
It's a recommendation. We'll just keep recycling the portmanteau formula.
It's a NASA. It's a trip. It's a NASA trip, a trip, a dapple dipple.
It's a tweet up is actually a portmanteau.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. There's a guy from Tokyo Police Club, a band that I don't really like. A guy from that band, Graham Wright, just released a album called Shirts Versus Skins, and it kind of has a They Might Be Giants mixed with Moldy Peaches, a little bit of a more kind of alti countryside with Jayhawks and Clem Snide. But the first track on it, it's called Chuckle Fucks. So I think it's got a good sense of humor. It's really catchy, really cute,
fact-based
fun songs.
Fact-based songs like TM, They Might Be Giants?
Yeah, yeah. Like nothing like that. But then the spirit of just kind of having fun and a lot of different instrumentation, a lot of kind of like jumping genres from song to song.
Got so teased by They Might Be Giants. Someone tweeted at TMBG, you should be on the Nerdist podcast. They tweeted back something like, sounds great. And then so I go in and I'm like, anytime you want to go. And all caps, probably no spaces. And I never heard back from them.
Oh, they're busy guys.
I
they have to make a song a day.
I don't even think they live here.
And then Tame Impala from Australia.
Oh,
they,
yeah.
They're really good, kind of psychedelic. The singer kind of sounds close to later day John Lennon. Real fuzzy, real psychedelic, really cool kind of rock stuff there.
Later day John Lennon.
Dead?
Yeah, 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 yeah. Oh, no, just like last minute day.
I'm
just
no longer alive.
Today, some news came out that John Lennon, his personal assistant, said that he was planning on voting for Reagan.
Interesting.
Yeah, he had turned crazy right, and he viewed the guy who wrote the song Imagine as a naive dude.
A pinko commie.
Yeah, we got way into Reagan. And that's your music fun facts for the day. Back to you, Chris, on the other side of the desk.
Oh, we might have a hostel next week because I'll be gone.
Yeah, you're going to be at your NASA treat.
Oh, we'll have a hostel.
Oh, shit. Matt, there's not going to be
it. It'll be better.
No, it won't. Is that what you wanted to hear?
Myra anyway, Bowie.
Hey, buddy. Hey, you got a long rod there fishing for compliments.
Yeah.
Buddy.
Myra Bowie.
It's like 12 feet.
Gosh. What was the name we came up with you again?
Myra Bowie?
No, guys, Myra Bowie. You forgot it.
Myra Bowie.
I feel like I remember Myra Bowie pretty well.
That wasn't it.
Big C says, vote Myra Bowie.
It was a different thing.
Team Myra Bowie.
I'm excited for your NASA tweet up, and I really hope I gave you a Canon EOS 60D that you're going to take down there.
I get to keep it. It's really great.
You need to dig up yourself an SDHC card.
I already ordered one on Amazon.
Okay, good.
It'll be here on Friday.
Needs to be at least a number 4.
16 gigas.
Gigas. 16 gigawatts.
Podcasting. Oh, who's on the phone?
What do you mean you accidentally answered the phone? Your face fell on the phone?
Sorry. We were comfortable in conversation, Chris, that he thought we were just talking.
Who are you talking to?
I'm talking to Deanna.
Oh.
Deanna, okay, hold on. Deanna, say hello.
To the podcast.
say hello.
Hey, we're taking calls. We got one lucky listener. Hey, you're listening to Kate. Who's this?
Caller, go ahead.
Turn down your radio.
Deanna?
What?
Say hello.
You're on the Nerdist podcast. Who is this?
She doesn't want to be on. All right,
Dad, I heard that your boyfriend is such a fucking idiot that he ran his bike into a Chevy
truck. I was just trying to make fun of
him. Caller, if you're not going to turn on your radio, we're going to have to go.
Well, I think we're going to have to let her go. I don't know what's going on here. We're wrapping up right now.
Hey.
I'm just going to repeat everything Jonah says, but in a radio voice.
Does that soundboard work right now? Chris, does that soundboard work?
I'm seeing a little bit. I'm sorry.
Sounds? All right, bye.
Bye.
Damn it. I wonder what track it's on.
I don't know. I'm looking for the... Nothing's marked. Oh, wait. Nothing's marked here. Let's see. If I can find this in the next second. That's the instant replay machine. Instant replay. Silence Extreme Burbank. Yeah, I don't see it.
Throw
Damn
them all
it.
Up. Throw them all up.
What? No, I don't want to. Oh, I don't want to hit the wrong thing.
Then throw them all back down.
I wonder if that's not CD 1, 2, or 3. It's not phones. It's not open. It's not. It's not this. Oh, and I just hit a good one too.
Damn it! It's my dream.
Damn it!
To get that to work.
I don't know how to.
I think.
Too bad. Oh, wait, guys, ready? I think I found it.
Oh. No.
Oh.
So sure of myself.
We're not going to ruin the surprise. We'll eventually figure out how it works.
And I've fallen into a chamber of failure. This Zenith of Moments has been brought to you by Zenith.
Zenith of Moments.
From a distance. All right. I think
Matt Myra is green and blue.
Myra Bowie, Myra Bowie, enjoy your burrito.
Myra's watching us. Myra's watching us. Myra, watching us. Enjoy your burrito.
It's a fucking show. Jump the shark, man. I'm going to register my complaints in the comment section. I can't fucking believe these jerks. Show used to mean something.
It used to be, stand for something.
Used to be about people.
It's
about people and things.
Now it's just ads, and you have players.
Put your mic cover back on, Myra Bowie.
Myra Bowie, Myra Bowie. Enjoy your burrito.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
Nancy's love story could have been ripped right out of the pages of one of her own novels.
She was a romance mystery writer who happens to be married to a chef.
But this story didn't end with a happily ever after.
When I stepped into the kitchen, I could see that Chef Brophy was on the ground, and I heard somebody say, call 911.
As writers, we'd written our share of murder mysteries. So when suspicion turned to Dan's wife, Nancy, we weren't that surprised.
The first person they look at would be the spouse.
We understand that's usually the way they do it.
But we began to wonder, had Nancy gotten so wrapped up in her own novels?
There are murders in all of the books.
That she was playing them out in real life? You can listen to Happily Never After, Dan and Nancy, early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.